And as you're being seated, you can take your Bibles this morning and find your place in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 7 this morning. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 7 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. Last Sunday, as I was laying in bed, I began thinking, and sometimes thinking can be either a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what you're thinking about. But last Sunday night, I was looking to wind down and try and get some rest and some sleep. And as I was doing so, my mind started wandering back to when I was younger. And, every now and again, I'll start thinking about, when I was younger, when I was in high school. And yesterday, Matt and I, we went out to lunch after. We made a couple visits, and we were sitting there, and we got to talking about a friend of ours that he works over at Tops, and his daughter works over there now, and he just mentioned she was 14, and I thought, man, they're hiring young. I said, I didn't get my working papers until my first year of high school, and she said, yeah, you were 14 in high school. I said, no, I wasn't 14 in high school. And so sure enough, I pulled out my phone and I started doing some quick math. And yeah, my first year of high school, I was 14. And now I'm 36, going to be 37. And so time flies. And so I was, I got to thinking about that. And I got to thinking, on Fridays growing up, my dad would get home from work, and we'd go and go to the grocery store, and we'd get the regular groceries for the week, and the bread, the milk, the normal things that a family needs. But then for Friday night, we'd grab something special. We'd either go grab a pizza or lunch meat and chips and rolls and different things like that. And then, back then I was really into, and here the last couple of weeks we've been looking in the book of Ephesians and looking at, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood and principalities. And so there's been a lot of wrestling talk, and then got to thinking about when Jacob wrestled with God and so forth. And just when I was younger, used to, enjoy the WWF and wrestling. And so we go to Friday night, and we'd get our Friday night stuff and our groceries. And then he'd let me get a wrestling magazine or whatever. And growing up, my grandfather would, he would always, every time he'd get his Social Security check, his retirement check at the beginning of the month, my dad would come home from work and he'd say, take that boy and go get him a toy. And so we'd go down to Toys R Us and get something. And listen, it wasn't, extravagant. And, we growing up, we didn't necessarily, have much. But what we did have, it was special. And then Saturday mornings, sometimes it meant getting up early for some school thing that maybe I didn't necessarily want to attend, but I knew when I got home, the rest of the day was mine. I didn't have, aside from my household chores, I had no responsibilities. I could fire up the PlayStation, no bills, no pressure, no weight, just time. And, those days can feel special, the good old days. And there's a line that, as I was thinking about just, as I was younger and just, a time before, there's a quote that says that I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them. You know, that resonates because we all have a before. Before responsibility, before loss, before illness, before heartbreak, before pressure, before leadership, before the weight of adulthood. And oftentimes when life gets heavy, we can romanticize the past. We can say, man, you know, I had it so much better back then. But then we come here to Ecclesiastes and chapter 7, and we come to God's corrective lens. And Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, writes now as an older man reflecting on life. And Ecclesiastes is not a cynical unbelief. It is rather a sanctified realism. It's wisdom from someone who had everything that the world could offer, and yet at the end of the day still found it to be insufficient. And chapter 7, where we find ourselves this morning, shifts from now observation to instruction. In chapters 1 through 6, he moves from life as a vapor to now in chapter 7, here's how to live wisely in a broken world. And that's something we have to realize this morning, is that is the world that we live in. We live in a very broken time. We live in a very broken world. I said it a few weeks ago, we're not in the sweet by and by just yet. We're still in the nasty now and now. And that's exactly where we are. But then in verses 1 through 10 that we're going to look at this morning, we see that Solomon dismantles nostalgia. Look there, if you would, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance of the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of myrrh. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say thou not, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. You notice that phrase there in verse number 10. Say thou not, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For a few moments more, I'd like to preach us this thought, the good old days. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And now, Lord, we just pray that you would come down and meet with us in a special and real way. And Lord, we pray now that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. May the message this morning be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. And Lord, if there be one that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray that I leave this place without getting it settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And now, Lord, for all that you'll do today, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. Lord, help me say those things which need to be said and refrain from those things which need not be said. And the Lord, if there be one here that they need encouragement, we pray they'd find that encouragement this morning. And now, Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we see here that Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, is written by the preacher, also known as the assembler, the one who gathers people to hear wisdom. And Solomon here, he is writing this near the end of his life. And up to this point, Solomon has tasted wealth. He has tasted pleasure. He has tasted power. He has tasted education. He has tasted accomplishment. And he repeatedly comes to this conclusion in chapter 1 and verse 2, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's all empty. It's a vapor. It's a breath. It's a mist. It's here for just a little while, and then it vanishes away. Life under the sun, life viewed merely from an earthly perspective, is fleeting. But then we come to chapter 7, and chapter 7 is different in tone from all the other chapters here, in that it reads almost like Proverbs, because you have here very short wisdom sayings, but they're very sober in nature. And this is not the enthusiasm of a young person. You know, when we're young, we think we can do anything and accomplish anything, and nothing can hurt us. I was talking recently when I was younger. A few of my friends, we used to like to roughhouse and wrestle and mess around. And so one day we were doing just that, and we were wrestling outside of our apartment building there in Philly, and we were up on the very top step, and they were on the inside of the door, and me and another friend, we were on the outside of the door, and they were trying to push us out, and we were trying to push in. To this day, I don't know what we were trying to accomplish, other than we were just being stupid. And they were, and they pushed us. They finally got the door closed, and my one friend, he kind of fell over to this side, but I went all the way back off the step, about four or five steps off the top, landed back first right onto the concrete. I got up, shook it off, and I was all fine and dandy. Now today, I get up out of bed, and Mandy says, "Where are you going?" And I say, "Well, I'm going to the bathroom, I'm going into the study, or I'm going here, I'm going." And she says, "Why are you moving so slow?" And I say, "I have to get moving. I can't just get up and move." This morning I was getting ready. I said, "Hey, come put a salon paw on my back." And last night after treatment, I get off treatment and I just start cramping. Both of my sides just start cramping. And I'm like, "Oh, my soul." So that's not what this is. This is not the enthusiasm of youth. This is the realism of age. And Solomon now teaches how to live wisely in a world that is broken, how to live wisely in a world that is disappointing, how to live in a world that is temporary. And in verses 1 through 10, he confronts something that every one of us feels, the temptation to say things used to be better. There's several things I wanted to see this morning. Number one, the rose-tinted remembering of the past. The rose-tinted remembering of the past. Notice there again, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of myrrh. And then skip down verse number 10. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. You notice there, verse number 1, Solomon says, a good name is better than precious ointment. A good name is better. What Solomon is teaching here is just very simply, character is better than comfort. And so for example, when I think of those Friday night grocery store runs or those Saturday mornings or those high school days or whatever the case may be, you know, I don't really necessarily miss those times. Or I don't miss the pizza or the lunch meat or the magazine. I miss the time. But here's what we realize as we grow older. What made those days good wasn't that they were light, wasn't that they were easy, but it was that something was quietly being shaped in us. You see, when we're born and at birth, nothing is proven. Nothing, you know, we have our whole life ahead of us. And you notice there, Solomon says there, the end of verse number one, in the day of death, than the day of one's birth. In other words, it's the day that you die is better than the day you were born. Now listen, we look at that and that sounds harsh. That sounds uncaring and unloving, but until you realize that at death, your character is complete. Psalm 116:15, the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. See, folks, this morning, heaven values faithful endings. One day we're going to stand before God and will we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Solomon says there, verse 2, it is better to go to the house of mourning. Listen, when we were younger, funerals were uncomfortable, weren't they? I remember my mom came, picked me up from school one day and, you know, in third grade, I think it was. And man, getting out early, man, that's every kid's dream. Get out of school early before everybody else does. But then as we're walking home, she tells me, your grandfather passed away. And we were close. The same grandfather said, go get that boy a toy. And I remember because I was so young, they wouldn't let me go to his funeral. And I understand that today, at the time it hurt. I still have his the program of the funeral, his obituary and so forth, but funerals were uncomfortable when we were younger. But now, they're clarifying. You know, for you this evening, or this morning, you know, there was a time before. Whatever it is you're battling today, there was a time before that. You know, a time before cancer, a time before hospital rooms, a time before you were forced to have to think about your own mortality, a time before broken homes and broken families and, you know, everything else that this world throws at us. There was a time before that. But those lighter days never faced or forced us to stop and reflect. They never did that. The hard seasons of life, they do. And they cause us to stop. And they cause us to reflect. You know, nostalgia, it remembers laughter. Wisdom remembers seasons. Verse number 3, Solomon says here, sorrow is better than laughter. Again, when you're 14, you think you're strong. You think there's nothing you can't do. But you've never been tested. You know, for me, there was a time before pastoring, before carrying burdens that just aren't mine or my wife's, before counseling sessions, before standing at gravesides, before standing in hospital rooms. Those were lighter days. You know, when I was a youth pastor or an assistant pastor or whatever, if anything went wrong, I could say, Pastor, you're up. Now when something goes wrong, I am the one that people say, you're up. But lighter is not always deeper. Romans 5:3, the Bible tells us, tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Sorrow builds something that laughter never could. Sorrow builds something that laughter never could. Notice there, verse number 10, say not thou. Say not thou. Solomon says, don't declare yesterday better. Because listen, nostalgia, edits the tape. It edits our memory. We remember the freedom, we forget the immaturity. When we were 14, I guarantee you, you were immature. When I was 14, I was immature. We remember the simplicity, but we forget the insecurity. The rose-tinted remembering is not wisdom. But then secondly, this morning, we see the interrupted intentions of our plans. The interrupted intentions of our plans. You know, I once thought I knew what life would look like. I had it all planned out. You know, there's an old saying, man plans and God laughs. Because our plans are not often his plans. Growing up, I did well in school. I did not like whenever it came time to give you stood up in front of the class and give a report. I hated standing up in front of people. Today, I still hate getting up in front of people. And, you know, that's why when I preach, I try not to look at somebody. I look over them. Because growing up, I had a speech problem and I had to go to speech therapy and different things like that. And so, I never intended to be a pastor. No spotlight, no pulpit, no, hospital schedule. But then, Proverbs 19:21 tells us this: there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. I'm thankful this morning that God does not consult our blueprints. God does not consult, necessarily what we want to do with our life. Because it's not our life. It's his. It was given to us by him. He authors our story. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. If you had told me what life would include today, oh boy, I'm not sure I would have signed up. How about you? If you go back and talk to your 16-year-old self, did life kind of pan out the way you thought it would, or the way you wanted it to, or did it pan out the way God wanted it to? But here's the truth this morning. God's end matters more than my beginning. Listen, Joseph did not plan prison. Moses did not plan exile. Paul did not plan shipwreck. But God interrupts intentions to fulfill purpose. God has a purpose for every one of us. And then we see thirdly this morning, the weighty work of present suffering. The weighty work of present suffering. Paul calls affliction light in 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 17, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Weight produces substance. And again, being young, that felt weightless. But weight is what produces compassion and patience and sobriety and dependence on Christ. And Christ alone. Hebrews 12:11. No chastening seemeth to be joyous. Listen this morning. Suffering is not pleasant, but it is productive. The good old days, they were lighter. But these days, the days we're living in now, they are what is shaping our future. They are what is shaping eternity. Then fourthly, this morning, we see the misplaced measurement of peace. The misplaced measurement of peace. Peace is not a recliner. Peace is not a routine. Peace is not the absence of diagnosis. Jesus said in John chapter 16, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have already overcome the world. Listen this morning, peace is Christ Himself. There were peaceful evenings as a teenager, but there is deeper peace now. And now that it has been tested. Listen, some laughter is loud, but very hollow. Very loud, but empty. Some sorrow is quiet, but strengthening. And then fifthly and finally, we see the unchanging unfolding of God's purpose. The unchanging unfolding of God's purpose. Hebrews 13:8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, that grocery store God that my dad and I, we went on Friday nights, the same God that was there, he's the same God that is in the hospital room. The teenage dream God, the dreams you had as a teenager, he's the same God today. Whatever it is you're going through, he's the same God. The lighter season God is the heavier season God. Different does not mean worse. It means God is still writing. He's still writing our story. And so this morning, listen, we cannot go back. As much as we would like to sometimes, we cannot go back. We cannot relive those grocery store Friday nights. We cannot replay those Saturday afternoons. We cannot undo the diagnoses of life. We cannot rewrite calling. We cannot rewrite what has happened to us in our life. But we can trust God now. Listen, those may have been the good old days, but folks, this morning, the best days are yet to come. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears. No more hospital rooms, no more grief, no more longing for yesterday. And when we stand before him, we will not wish to return. You know, so oftentimes someone passes on who, and we selfishly, we say, oh, if I could just bring them back for five more minutes with them. And listen, I understand where that's coming from, but listen, why would we want to take them from heaven and bring them back here? Listen, they're in heaven, new body, new mind, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. One day, we will understand. And until then, we need to trust God for who he is. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. This morning, let's stand together at our feet.